Egypt was taken over by King Ptolemy, and we know that as the Ptolemaic Empire. Ptolemy's last descendant was Cleopatra VII of Mark Antony fame. We'll see her a bit later on. And this partition proved more or less enduring down to the time of the arrival of the Romans. It got a bit more complicated between 301 and, say, 275 BC. In 281 BC, during a series of wars between Lysimachus in Thrace and Seleucus in Asia, a new people showed up from Central Europe called the Celts, or the Gauls, the Galatians, the people in the New Testament accounts. These are Celts from Central Europe. They swept into Greece, tried to take Delphi, and a large number of them were actually brought over from Thrace to Asia Minor to serve as mercenaries, where they roamed at large for about 20 years, terrorizing the cities and kingdoms of Asia Minor, and eventually were defeated and driven into part of Phrygia, which later became known as Galatia. And they helped add to the confusion. And what happened in Asia Minor, because of its strategic position and because of the partition of the Alexandrine Empire into these three great Macedonian dynasties, is Asia Minor fragmented in this period. From the arrival of those Galatians, and they were brought over until 279, until the Romans really imposed their authority in 190 BC, Asia Minor becomes perhaps about as complicated as the map of the ethnic communities of the Austro-Hungarian Empire on the eve of the First World War. And let me just sort it out for a moment, because these divisions actually proved to be quite significant for the civilization of the Hellenistic and Roman period. Alexander's conquest resulted in many Greek city-states in Asia Minor regaining their autonomy and freedom, especially the cities of Ionia. Other cities in the interior of Asia Minor, in Lydia, in Caria, and in the southeast, very quickly concluded that if they could pass themselves off as Greek cities, they too could get all sorts of privileges. Now, freedom and autonomy in the world of Alexander and later was a bit more restricted than the classical age. And we call this age the Hellenistic or Greek-like age, that is, where Greek civilization was paramount. And there, Greek cities, or cities styling themselves as Greek cities, could at least gain certain rights, autonomy, and privileges. Many cities took the added precaution of equipping themselves with impressive wall structures. We'll talk about and see some examples of that in the next lecture. And that proved extremely important, because the Macedonian kings, the Antigonids of Macedon, the Seleucids of Asia, the Ptolemies of Egypt, who fought for control of sections of Asia Minor, based their power largely on mercenary armies, on professional Macedonians and Greeks hired to fight for a great king. And you don't use professional mercenaries to assault cities. And very often cities found that if they could defend themselves with walls, that the Macedonian king would negotiate. In return for certain privileges, treaty, recognition, money, they would allow the city its freedom and then would go off and search for their other opponent and beat him up on the battlefield. You don't want to use up that precious, expensive army by attacking a number of different independent Greek cities. So the Greek cities, especially in Asia Minor, and this included not only Greek cities proper, but cities now starting to pass themselves off as Greek, found it that they could survive quite comfortably in this war of the successors, and that they gained a certain measure of independence. Furthermore, the wars that followed Alexander's death that partitioned the empire were not the kind of destructive wars we would associate in wars of national extermination that the 20th century seemed to specialize in. These were wars fought between two huge royal armies, and in some ways, wars brought profit, brought economic opportunity. The great Macedonian armies were followed by the usual wagon train. They're moving cities where all the consumables an army would need, as well as all the vices an army would need, are there for the taking. Many cities furnished supplies, furnished all sorts of entertainment groups to keep the army happy, and were more than welcome to offer a market to sell off plunder and captives. And so that war, in an unusual way, promoted the development of cities. And this is becoming evident in the excavation of a number of cities in Asia Minor, notably the old Phrygian city of Gordion, which prospered quite well in the economic changes of the Hellenistic age.